What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 78 of the Vitality Unleashed podcast. We are your hosts, Coach Dylan and Coach Lauren, and today is our usual Friday, Q&A Friday.
Yes, we love Q&A Friday. We just got done with a nice lift. We actually went to a gym that's a little bit farther away. We had to drive like 30 minutes, but this gym is just so much better than the gym that we normally train at.
Yeah, it's a fitness system, Sawgrass. It's what John Delarosa's gym, IFBB Pro, competed in the Arnold.
Yeah, posing room is super, super, super helpful to have. That's like the main reason that we are going there, because I have nowhere to practice my posing really, besides from obviously at home. But it's nice that they actually have a super nice posing room.
Yeah, they have a full posing room with, you know, the angled mirror on the ceiling so you can see your back shot when you're posing and everything like that. It's super, super cool. I was using that today, and because, you know, you never get to see like that side when you're posing. A lot of times when someone's practicing their posing, there's a mirror in the front, mirror in the back. You don't usually have a special mirror to make sure you can see your back shot as well.
Yeah, so it's super nice. But let's go ahead and get into the Q&A. By the way, guys, if you are in here right now, if you have any questions, drop them in the chat and we will get them.
We encourage you to ask questions.
Yes, please ask questions. Alrighty, first question. Do you coach posing?
No, I do not.
I do not either. With that being said, I, of course, help all of my clients with their posing as much as possible. I just don't do one-on-one, but we do have a team posing coach. So if you guys are ever looking for that one-on-one help with your posing, just message us and we can put you in contact with our team posing coach.
Yep. Coach Sarah, she does posing coach for women. If you need a posing coach for men, I have plenty of people that I can refer you to. I am 100% confident I know the two best men's posing coaches in the world.
Absolutely. All right, next question. How do I flatten my tummy?
How do you flatten your tummy? First off, if you have any sort of inflammation, gut issues down there, fixing your fucking diet and making sure you get that down is number one. Because guess what? You will never have a flat tummy if you just feel like you have a bowling ball in your stomach the whole time.
Exactly. That's a huge thing that, you know, a lot of people put all of their focus onto losing more body fat, losing more weight, when maybe they'll get to this weight that they want to get to and they still don't have that flat stomach because they're just bloated and inflamed all of the time. So it's very important that your gut health is in check, that you really minimize the inflammation within your gut as much as possible. Make sure that you're not, you know, experiencing too much regular bloating before you put too much focus on the actual fat loss. But of course, that actual fat loss is going to be super important as well, especially if you have a lot of excess fat.
Yeah, great examples. Lauren herself has gone through this where she's been extremely lean, but then had serious gut issues. And it's like, guess what? Didn't have a flat tummy when her gut's completely inflamed. Like, that's exactly. Just not going to happen. Even though she had like shredded, her literal stomach was still just like vascular while she was bloated. Like, so
it would make it look even more vascular because it like pushed.
Exactly. So it doesn't even matter. Like, if your gut health is not in order, it doesn't matter what you fucking do, you're not going to have a flat stomach.
Yes, so make sure that you prioritize your gut health before going to that fat loss phase. All right, next question. How to know if a coach is right for you? Good question.
I would say you'll never know for sure until you work with them. Of course, you go through, I'm going to assume this is for bodybuilding, until you go through a prep with them, you know, go through off season with them, really just see if you like their, I think I hear an alarm. There we go. Got it. If you ever go through like a full season with them, that's really how you can tell for sure. Other than that, a few things you can look for is you can ask them beforehand, how is their check-in process? How's the communication? Do you have like 24/7 access to them? Do you only ever talk to them for check-ins? Like, how does all that go? That's really, really important, I find. And also, what is their philosophy on drugs? Like, that's a big thing too, you know? A lot of coaches, you might see coaches bringing people fucking shredded to stage, but it's all these young people, all newer competitors. You're like, wow, they're really bringing them in really well. But then you find out, like, they're just pumping them full of gear, and all these people, half these people were natural before they came to this coach, and the coach is like, here, take some Anavar, take some Klein, take this, take that, go ahead, go do it, and just have pushed it down their throats, and they could get the best look that the coach wanted on stage while sacrificing people's health.
Exactly. It's just important to ask the right questions and also know what you are looking for. Are you someone that needs that constant communication every single day, messaging, or are you someone that's cool with a weekly check-in, maybe a message or two? I'm not saying one way is right or wrong, but coaches just do operate their businesses differently, and that is completely okay. But you just need to make sure that you are going to be getting what you're looking for. Yeah, asking what is the check-in process like? Are there any team calls? Do we have a community? Like, there's just a lot of important questions to ask. And as he said, philosophy on drugs are huge because, yes, a lot of coaches will just be pumping people full of drugs, you know, to bring their best physique, which maybe you're going to bring a slightly better physique, but you also really, really, really be sacrificing your health in the process as well.
Yeah, and especially if a coach is giving first-time competitors PEDs, like, in my opinion, that's unethical and that's a fucking problem because how do you even know if bodybuilding's for you if you haven't even competed before?
Exactly. And of course, down the line, like, PEDs are a very, very big part of bodybuilding, but we are definitely very big fans on the minimum effective dose.
100%, 100%. So next question now. I'm 5'6", 160 pounds. Am I in good enough place to prep? I would say if you're 5'6", 160,
probably not.
I would say because realistically, I don't think you're going to have so much muscle on your frame that you're weighing like 130 on stage. That happens sometimes. Some people also just have, you know, like denser frames, denser bones. It can happen. But realistically, your body fat's probably a little high to start a prep. And on top of that, if you're asking, that means you're not working with a coach now. And that means there is a 99.9% certainty that your metabolism isn't in the right place to start prep as well.
Yeah, exactly. So it really depends a lot on where your metabolism is at and how long you do have for this. But assuming we're talking about anywhere from a 12 to 20 week prep, no, that is not going to be realistic. The average stage weight for someone around 5'6 is going to be between like 115 and 120 for the bikini division. So that would be a hell of a lot of weight to lose over 2 pounds per week. And that's just, you don't want to be rushed throughout the whole process.
Yes, and that's a good point Lauren made. We are talking about the bikini division because obviously if you're 5'6", 160 and you're fucking jacked and peeled, then it's going to be a different story. You should be in like women's bodybuilding.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it really depends on where your body composition is at. But I would say most likely, no. People do hold weight very differently. I know my client Kiara is about to get on stage weighing almost 140 in the bikini division, not with too much muscle or anything like that. So
that's a freaky case. Very, very
it really depends. Whereas my stage weight is typically closer to like 125, and most girls around like the 5'7 will be around like 120, 125. So.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. So our answer is you're probably not ready, and reach out to us, and we can tell you if you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. Seeing the photos will be a lot more helpful, so make sure that you do reach out, and we can definitely help you out with that. All right, next question. What show are you doing? I'm assuming this question is aimed at me. I'm not 100% sure yet. I'm still deciding between two for my first show. It's either going to be August 3rd or August 10th. I know one is in Tampa, one is in Orlando. I don't remember which is which. So that'll be my warm-up show, one of those. And then after that, going to Pittsburgh.
Yep, end of the month for Nationals.
It's like on my birthday or like the day before or day after. Like it's super close to my birthday.
Yeah, for my show, I'm going to be competing in summer shredding in 2025.
Yes, 2025. Long ways away. So I will definitely be on stage first within the next like 16-ish weeks. And I'm super, super, super excited to be going through prep again. All right, next question. Two more questions here, and then we will come to the screen and see if there are any more there. All right, biggest tips to grow coaching business. So this is more on the coaching side of things.
Lead by example. Be consistent.
Consistency, so underrated. Just being consistent, it shows.
Yeah, because everything adds up. It really is. When you think about any sort of, you know, building a client base, a lot of that is just time. It's time, and consistency. Because, of course, if you're consistently doing what you're supposed to be doing every single day, you're going to be getting at least some clients. These clients are going to give you referrals. Guess what? You're also planting a ton of seeds in other people's minds if you're doing this correctly, building your business correctly, throughout this entire process, you growing your business. So 6 months down the line, you've been consistently posting. You've been consistently providing value. You're posting social proof on your Instagram. And now these people who have been following you for 6 months that you reached out to 6 months ago are going to be coming to you for coaching. And guess what? That's just going to keep adding up, keep going, going, going. As long as you continue expanding your network and continue being consistent, people are going to see that and you're going to be the person they reach out to.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you're documenting your own journey of health as well. People want to see you walking the walk, showing your client transformations, posting social proof, things like that. And yeah, as you said, it really is a long game. You just have to keep doing it. And eventually, if you do stay consistent, people are going to notice that and it is going to work out in your favor. And make sure you stay up on your education. You know, a lot of coaches will just, they got educated 20 years ago and they aren't quite up to date. And that's a super common cause of imposter syndrome too, if you're just not confident in your education. So just make sure that you know your shit and you're going to be a lot more confident.
Yeah, get your education from a source you trust. That's a really, really big thing for sure. Like, I know we got a lot of our prep coaching education from, like, J3 University with John Jewett. And it's like, we just really align with a lot of the things he says. He gets great results for himself. It's gotten great results for his clients. It's like, that's someone we trust, you know, in the industry. And we're like, okay, that's definitely someone's model we want to follow and, you know, learn from.
Final
question here. Cardio, fasted or no? Really funny that this is on here because I actually just had one of my friends from like high school message me asking this exact same question.
Maybe it was him.
Yeah, maybe it was him. I don't know. Maybe he asked it again. He wants to see if you have a different opinion. So with that, cardio, fasted or no, I would say whatever's most convenient for you. My biggest thing I like to say about this is if you're waking up in the morning to do fasted cardio and you're sacrificing sleep to do it, not fucking worth it. I don't give a shit like what you want to go do in the evening. If you're wanting to do fasted cardio because you want to go out at night, and then you're actually losing an hour of sleep because you're doing fasted cardio in the morning when instead you should be doing your cardio instead of going out some of these nights, guess what? That's your fucking problem, and you definitely shouldn't be doing that. Sleep is so crucial to your recovery, growing muscle, everything. Your body operating is completely dependent on sleep, so you do not want to sacrifice sleep just to get in fasted cardio.
Yeah, exactly. If you're dipping under the like 7 hours of sleep mark just to wake up earlier to do that cardio, I wouldn't suggest it. Now, if you're getting at least 7 hours of sleep, you're probably going to be chilling. Obviously, everybody's body kind of has that amount of sleep. Some people need a little bit more. Some people are totally cool on a little bit less. So just make sure that you are really paying attention to your energy cues, things like that. But overall, cardio fasted versus not, we like to do fasted cardio just because it's a part of our routine. And actually the biggest reason that we do fasted cardio is because we want to push our coffee intake back 90 minutes post wake. And we don't want to just sit around for 90 minutes or I can't get into work without coffee or like getting up first. So just like forcing ourselves to just get up and get straight to the gym really helps like wake me up without that caffeine. And then by the time I come back, we're getting close to that 90 minute mark. So then I'll be able to have my coffee and really get started with my day.
Yeah, we kind of have fasted cardio, kind of don't. Technically, we do drink bone broth before we go, but that's
But I think the rule of fasting is like 50 calories or less.
Yeah, so I think we'd be cool.
Minus, for
you
sure.
You would be. I'm a little over, I think.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even... Yeah, we do eat a little bit, I guess. We drink some bone broth before we go do cardio, but that's the thing. There is... If you want to eat before you go and still just go first thing in the morning, great. Like, it's not going to make a difference if you eat before or eat after.
Yeah, 100%. It's not affecting, you know, how many calories you're burning that much at all. It's really what makes you feel better and make sure that you are prioritizing sleep over just waking up in the morning for cardio. All
right, I'm going to go check the question screen.
I know, I saw one over here.
Oh, shit, really?
On our clients thing.
Nice. Yes, guys, please.
Thoughts on creatine.
Thoughts on creatine. Great question, Michaela. It's amazing. I don't know what else to say. It's fucking, everyone should be taking creatine. Your grandma should be taking creatine. It's literally so beneficial for your brain health, beneficial for your muscle recovery, beneficial for everything. Like, everyone should be taking creatine 100%, 5 grams of creatine monohydrate a day for most people, unless you are a large bodybuilder, then you can justify pushing it to 10 grams.
All right, one on here from Amanda. Tips on dealing with body dysmorphia. So it's so funny to see because you're going to start realizing this yourself too. But the better you look, the deeper you get into your fitness journey, like the more body dysmorphia you're going to get. Like, I'll tell you right now, like, I should feel the best that I've ever felt because I have the most muscle that I've ever had, but I actually feel like terrible. Like, I feel like I'm small. I feel like I'm fat. Like, it is crazy what your mind can do to you sometimes. And then I'll tell you that back in the day, like when I first started competing, like my confidence was through the roof. I had like reverse body dysmorphia.
I actually did a video on this when it came to competitors and like first time competitors, especially, like they have reverse body dysmorphia where they think they're fucking winning their show. And I'm like, you have no idea. You're going against some people who have been competing for 10 years who have been running gear for that 10 years. I'm like, good luck with that. So it's absolutely definitely a perspective thing. And then everyone does just, when you start caring a lot about your physique improving, always getting better, I feel like you're just never going to be satisfied. And I don't have a problem with that. Like, for myself, like, I don't need to be satisfied with how I look. Like, I want to keep wanting to get better. I want to keep progressing. What's the point in, like, fucking living if you just don't want to get better anywhere? Like, it's crazy. So, to me, it's like, yeah, maybe I'm not satisfied with how I look. Maybe I have some insecurities, but I'm like, guess what? I'm working every fucking day to get better.
Yeah, 100%. As long as you know that you're doing what you can do. But on the other hand, like, you do need to have like some confidence in your own body. Like, you don't want to just like consistently hate how you look, especially for like Amanda. She is a lifestyle client. Like, she's not competing in a show. Like, having that level of confidence is super important. And as you know, like, having a coach, having that one person who does make the adjustments for you is super helpful, because not only like, you know, I'm always going to be completely honest with you, but it's also just, you know, sometimes when your emotions get in the way, you might make some decisions within your diet and training that don't need to be made quite yet. So having someone there to help you, hold you accountable, that you know is going to be honest with you, is also super important.
100%. A lot of that body dysmorphia will then link to like anxiety, and then making anxiety-ridden decisions, which of course nobody wants to do. And it really is drawing that line where it's like, okay, I see places on my body where I want to improve, but you still need to be proud of the progress you've made, right? Like, that's the biggest thing for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Amanda. She said I'm looking hot, by the way. Yeah, it's crazy to think, because it's not like I'm looking at myself from like a normal person perspective. I'm looking at myself from like a competitor. I want to go get my pro card this year perspective. I
look at everyone from like bodybuilding physique perspective. If I'm just walking down the street, I don't look at anyone like, I don't look at anyone, male, female. Like, I only look at their physique, and I'm like, okay, like, how does this look? Like, how does this look on a bodybuilding stage? And that's the only thing that goes through my head. It's so fucked up.
All right, we have one other question from Rosie. She said, I am in the first week of my 25-week prep. Ooh. I know I have a long way to go, but as I'm working at a high intensity, my heart rate drops quickly, even with burpees. So that is a great sign that your metabolism might not be where it needs to be. And typically, progressively throughout a competition prep, it's going to be harder and harder to start getting that heart rate up. But that should not be happening 25 weeks out.
Yeah, 100%. And you can also try a different form of cardio. That's a huge thing, where some people just perform better with other forms of cardio than others. So trying different things out can be really, really beneficial for sure. I would not stay stuck in one form if it's not working for you.
Yeah, exactly. So just make sure that you do try some different things out. But that might be a sign that you were maybe doing too much cardio in the off season, and potentially your body kind of adapted to that.
Yeah, because you got to think, if you're doing 30 minutes, an hour daily of cardio in the off season, guess what? That means realistically in prep, you're going to have to get to 3-4 hours, depending on where you're at, maybe even more.
Yeah, exactly. So just making sure that your body is actually ready. That's why the purpose of off seasons are to get your cardio as low as possible and calories as high as possible, so that you have plenty of room to move in both directions for when you do need to, you know, increase that calorie deficit.
Yep, that's 100% why we here at Psych Bodies always encourage hire your coach at least a year out from your show.
Alrighty, that is it for today. Hope you guys have a great weekend.
All right, peace.